The Road by Cormac McCarthy. Read by Rupert Degas. When he woke in the woods, in the dark and the cold of the night, he'd reach out to touch the child sleeping beside him. Nights dark beyond darkness, and the days more gray each one than one had gone before, like the onset of some cold glaucoma dimming away the world. He pushed away the plastic tarpaulin and raised himself in the stinking robes and blankets and looked toward the east for any light, but there was none. In the dream from which he'd wakened, he'd wandered in a cave where the child led him by the hand until they stood in a great stone room where lay a black and ancient lake. And on the far shore, a creature that raised its dripping mouth from the rimstone pool and stared into the light with eyes dead white and sightless. It swung its head low over the water, as if to take the scent of what it could not see. Crouching there, pale and naked and translucent, its alabaster bones cast up in shadow on the rocks behind it. Its bowels, its beating heart, the brain that pulsed in a dull glass bell. It swung its head from side to side, and then gave out a low moan, and turned, and loped soundlessly into the dark. With the first gray light, he rose, and left the boy sleeping, and walked out to the road, and squatted, and studied the country to the south. Barren, silent, godless. He thought the month was October, but he wasn't sure. He hadn't kept a calendar for years. They were moving south. There'd be no surviving another winter here. When it was light enough to use the binoculars, he glassed the valley below, the soft ash blowing in loose swirls. He studied the segments of road down there among the dead trees, looking for anything of color, any movement, any trace of standing smoke. He lowered the glasses and pulled down the cotton mask from his face and wiped his nose on the back of his wrist. And then he just sat there, watching the ashen daylight congeal over the land. He knew only that the child was his warrant. He said, "If he is not the word of God, God never spoke." When he got back, the boy was still asleep. He pulled the blue plastic tarp off him, folded it and carried it out to the grocery cart, and came back with their plates and some cornmeal cakes in a plastic bag and a plastic bottle of syrup. He spread the small tarp they used for a table on the ground and laid everything out, and he took the pistol from his belt and laid it on the cloth. And then he just sat, watching the boy sleep. He'd pulled away his mask in the night, and it was buried somewhere in the blankets. He watched the boy, and he looked out through the trees toward the road. This was not a safe place. They could be seen from the road now it was day. The boy turned in the blankets. Then he opened his eyes. "Hi, Papa," he said. An hour later, they were on the road. He pushed the cart, and both he and the boy carried knapsacks. In the knapsacks were essential things in case they had to abandon the cart and make a run for it. Clamped to the handle of the cart was a chrome motorcycle mirror that he used to watch the road behind them. He shifted the pack higher on his shoulders and looked out over the wasted country. The road was empty. Below in the little valley, the still gray serpentine of a river, motionless and precise. Along the shore, a burden of dead reeds. "Are you okay?" he said. The boy nodded. Then they set out along the blacktop in the gunmetal light, shuffling through the ash, each the other's world entire. They crossed the river by an old concrete bridge, and a few miles on they came upon a roadside gas station. They stood in the road and studied it.
I think we should check it out,
the man said. They crossed the broken asphalt apron. The man stood and looked over the building, the pump standing with their hoses oddly still in place, the windows intact. The door to the service bay was open, and he went in. A metal barrel full of trash. He went into the office. Dust and ash everywhere. A metal desk, a cash register. Some old automotive manuals, swollen and sodden. The linoleum was stained and curling from the leaking roof. He crossed to the desk and stood there. Then he picked up the phone and dialed the number of his father's house in that long ago. The boy watched him.
What are you doing?
He said. A quarter mile down the road, he stopped and looked back. We're not thinking, he said. We have to go back. He pushed the cart off the road and tilted it over where it could not be seen, and they left their packs and went back to the station. In the service bay, he dragged out the steel trash drum and tipped it over and pawed out all the quart plastic oil bottles. Then they sat on the floor decanting them of their dregs one by one, leaving the bottles to stand upside down, draining into a pan, until at the end, they had almost a half quart of motor oil. He screwed down the plastic cap and wiped the bottle off with a rag and hefted it in his hand. Oil for their little slut lamp to light the long gray dusks, the long gray dawns.
You can read me a story,
the boy said.
Can't you, Papa?
Yes, he said. I can.